we're going to have to rebuild within this wild, wild west of information flow some sort of curating function.
It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve.
We've got to maybe do something with the internet.
Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Somebody will say, oh, freedom of speech, freedom of speech. These are foolish people.
Hackers target cryptocurrency exchanges via their domain registrar. Cybersecurity agency names four state actors as threats to Canada. A large colo provider has been hit with a ransomware attack and a large-scale WordPress Epsilon theme attack. This and more in Access of Easy, episode 173. Hey, everybody. It is Mark Jeftovic here with another episode of the Access of Easy Weekly Digest. As I said, it's episode 173, which puts the show notes for this week's edition at accessofeasy.com/173. And I was just listening to that intro roll, and I realized now I'm going to have to find a soundbite from Joe Biden complaining about the internet and how we have to do something to clamp down on it. Anyhow, let's do the quotes. Last week's quote was, "The smallest bookstore still contains more ideas of worth than have been presented in the entire history of television." That was Andrew Ross. Nobody got that one. This week's quote, "I'm not optimistic either, but it's a good quote and I like it a lot." So the best cure for overconfidence in your beliefs is to constantly remind yourself that you have experienced less than a tiny fraction of a percent of what has happened in the world. This experience, however, ends up representing nearly 100% of how you believe the world works. Who said it? Actually, maybe somebody will get it because it's a pretty popular book among the investing crowd these days, and it came out in the last year or so. So who knows? Post the right answer to the show notes page. Get your next web hosting or domain renewal on us. So hackers target cryptocurrency exchanges via their domain registrar, which is no surprise now that Bitcoin looks to be challenging its all-time highs once again. And so there's been a couple of items over the last little while where hackers are targeting end users and cryptocurrency exchangers. We mentioned a couple weeks ago the Ledger Homoglyph attack that was targeting end users. And I mentioned that again because I just got another Ledger Homoglyph attack in my email box yesterday while I was writing this. Reported that on Twitter and stuff. So in the cases of targeting the cryptocurrency exchanges, I talk about this in my book, my first book, Managing Mission Critical Domains and DNS, that some companies, a lot of big companies, they have all the security and disaster preparedness in the world, but none of it will do you any good if your DNS or domain name that underpins it all gets cut off at the knees. And that's what happens in a lot of these cases. So it was an article over on Krebs on Security. Brian Krebs covered the attacks on Liquid.com and NiceHash, the mining pool, via their domain registrar, GoDaddy. So attackers were able to social engineer their way in and then change the name servers or update the DNS. Just modify the domain in a way where they can get into the email flow or redirect the website traffic to a site that they control. And once you're controlling the DNS or the domain, that's it. That's what you can do. And this is, again, at the risk of talking up our own product, but it is our show, so here we are. We do have our new platform, DomainSure.com, which is created to mitigate these exact kinds of attacks, including detecting the homoglyph attacks, finding phishing sites as they spring up in near real time, and putting a hyper-vigilant level of monitoring on your domain names so your mission-critical domains and your infrastructure domains, as defined as a domain that's holding up a piece of the internet, isn't going to be cut out from underneath you by this kind of an attack. So go check out domainsure.com. We are almost to the point where we're about to open it up to end user sign-ins. But if in the meantime, just flip me an email, markjr@easydns.com, or get on the invite list on the website, and you will be kept in the loop. Vatican cries foul after pontiff likes racy pic on Instagram. So officials at the Vatican are not amused, and they're asking questions after a picture posted by the Brazilian bikini model Natalia Garibato was liked by the Pope Francis official Instagram account. So she posted a pic of her in a schoolgirl, really short skirt and a locker. It looked pretty racy, and according to Vatican officials, early indications were that the like did not originate from within the papacy, or so they say, and it's unclear whether the official Instagram account had been hacked or not. Cybersecurity agency names four state actors as threats to Canada. So the Canadian Center for Cybersecurity has released a report naming four state actors as the largest threats against Canadian interests in the online realm. And those are, drum roll please, you probably can guess, China, North Korea, Iran, and Russia are named as the state-sponsored threat actors who are targeting Canada's critical infrastructure, intellectual property, and political events. So the 2020 National Cyber Threat Assessment lists the IT threats to Canadian businesses, individuals, and government agencies, and it carries the warning that countries like China and Russia are using the internet to, quote, turn it into a tool for censorship, surveillance, and state control, end quote. The center is a unit within the Canadian Security Establishment, CSE, which is this country's top cybersecurity agency. It's our equivalent of the NSA. On a similar theme, but a separate report issued by the security firm Symantec details a massive worldwide attack against corporate infrastructures by a Chinese state-backed threat actor called Cicada. RCMP dragging feet at disclosing data via FOIA requests. So this was a study released by Canada's Information Commissioner, Caroline Maynor, and it asserts that the RCMP, so the RCMP is Canada's version of the FBI, for those of you who aren't Canadian, they're failing to respond adequately to freedom of information requests. Quote, by nearly every measure, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police is failing in terms of its obligation to ensure that Canadians have access to information about its operations and decision-making, end quote. Ms. Maynor added that neither the agency nor the Trudeau government seems very interested in addressing and fixing the problems. So Canadians are supposed to be able to request information from the RCMP and receive a response within 30 days. However, the study found an over 1,000% increase in delays that pushed those response times out past a year. And in many cases, the requests simply come back with the agency saying that they found no information. In one particular case, the one with the mass shooting in Nova Scotia that resulted in sweeping new legislation from the federal government banning so-called assault rifles, and parenthetically, it also included websites named after assault rifles, FOIA inquiries initially yielded no results until IC Maynor began investigating, at which point thousands of documents were found. The other thing I'll mention, and I've mentioned it in Access of Easy before, a subsequent piece by McLean's, an in-depth expose, made a compelling argument that the shooter in that Nova Scotia mass shooting was an RCMP confidential informant. So it would be hard to believe that there's no documents anywhere to be surrendered. Maynor is worried that unless immediate action is taken to rectify RCMP transparency, things will move past the point of no return to fix it. She adds, the RCMP is not alone to blame, but the federal government and Public Safety Minister Bill Blair seem largely unconcerned and have ignored most of their recommendations to reform. Squatter targets home after hacking their Ring video doorbell. So this one combines two perennial cybersecurity issues, hacked video doorbells and swatting attacks. We both have been covered here over the years. We had a swatting attack that we wrote up in Axis of Easy 33 resulted in the death of a 28-year-old father in Kansas. That guy, Swatistic, was the one who did that. I think he is either facing 11 years in prison or he got 11 years in prison, or it's possible the trial is still ongoing. The other one that we wrote about was a hacker prank that saw families being taunted via their Ring doorbells after they had been hacked. So this time, the attackers hacked a Ring video doorbell to surveil the occupant of a house. When they knew she was home, they called in a SWAT attack to her address, telling the police that he had murdered his estranged wife and had barricaded himself in the home with explosives. Nearby, the kid's school went on lockdown. The police arrived, only to be taunted verbally via the hacked doorbell. So apparently there's some prior history here, and the attack is believed to have originated in Sweden. Librem 5 phones are finally shipping. I know a few readers went ahead and pre-ordered the Purism Librem 5 phones based on what I've been saying here in Axis of Easy. It was such a long time ago that I've been sort of close to giving up waiting on it myself. I feel bad for anybody who would have ordered it on my recommendation, but I saw the notice last week that they are now mass shipping the Librem 5s. I haven't got my shipping notice yet, but I'm hoping that I will soon, and I'm cautiously optimistic that I will have my new phone in my hand soon. Right now I'm using one of my daughter's old iPhones. It's like really old. It's an iPhone 5 or something like that, and it's tiny. And I'm refusing to get another phone until my Librem shows up. Anyway, large hosting provider hit with ransomware attack. Large-scale managed hosting provider Manage.com was hit with a ransomware attack last week, affecting their entire system. The company disclosed a coordinated ransomware attack affecting a small number of clients, and then they made the drastic move of taking down the entire system out of an abundance of caution. The attack has been attributed to the Revil Ransomware as a Service group, who are demanding $500,000 USD ransom to be paid in Monero, which is untraceable. In a prior interview with a public spokesperson for Revil, the group claimed to be making $100 million per year in extortion demands. And speaking of ransomware, Bleeping Computer also reported on one called the Egregor strain of ransomware, which upon infecting a victim workstation proceeds to blast ransom notes out in hard copy from all available printers on the network. That must be a lot of fun to watch. Large-scale WordPress Epsilon theme attack. So WordFence reports a large-scale wave of attacks against WordPress sites utilizing the Epsilon theme framework. They estimate close to 150,000 sites worldwide could be vulnerable. The attack utilizes a recently reported flaw called function injection, and they published a list of vulnerable themes. There's like 12 or 14 themes here, so check the show notes for that, and we've got them all listed. There's no active exploit known yet. These are all just probe attacks, but if you're running one of these themes, you want to upgrade it and get it fixed before this thing becomes actively exploited. If you're on Easy Brand with Blog Vault support, which is everything above the hobby level, and everyone who is originally in Easy Press at any level who got grandfathered in, we've already checked your sites and upgraded your themes if you're impacted. So an unexpected blast from the past yesterday while I was writing this, the CBC ran a From the Archives piece about music on the internet from 1996. So I was in that piece. We were hired by Warner Music Canada to do a online press kit for a band from Vancouver called Salvador Dream, and they explored the copyright infringement ramifications of putting music on the internet, and just what does it mean to put music on the internet, because the internet was so new in those days. It was still, you could get on TV just by being on the internet, which is what we did. And so we linked to it in the show notes if you want to know what I looked like back in the day when I was in a metal band and had hair. Look no further. There it is. And Axis of Easy, Salon number 31, the COVID episode. So this week on the Axis, There's two things. First, one was an article by Jesse Hirsch about Canada's new Digital Charter Implementation Act. And the other thing Charles wrote, that he really nailed the phenomenon that I've been calling the Great Bifurcation. And then in Salon number 31, we finally devoted the better part of an entire episode talking about the elephant in the room, which is the coronavirus. So that's it for this week. The show notes are at accessofeasy.com/173. Stay healthy, stay safe, stay sane, and have a happy Thanksgiving, however you're going to celebrate it down in the States. That would be this week, I guess, Thursday. So have a good one, and we will see you all next week.
Bangladesh, rhymes with your fresh, you just got home.